You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Big news this morning is it looked like he was withdrawing. President laid the groundwork. He said, no, I'm going to stay and fight this stuff. And as of this morning, the Secretary of the VA has withdrawn his name from consideration, Admiral Ronnie Jackson. Supposedly, I mean, man, he had a cushy job. He had a cushy job at the White House. Now, it's kind of curious, though. Anybody who gets near the VA doesn't work well. Like the last guy? So who's getting these people? Do you believe that they're getting themselves? Interesting. Or are there people there that have their own agenda? You know, again, I'm not much of a conspiracy theory guy. But when you see the stuff that you saw in the FBI, and you see people, I mean, even yesterday, right? what was the little tidbit? Oh, yeah. That the guy who Comey released his memos through, some which were classified, and the dude didn't have a security clearance. He was a special class of person associated with the FBI. How did that little nugget go unmentioned? Oh, yeah, that. So when you hear people talk about the deep state, and then you're like, there's no such thing as that. And then you watch this, and you hear those text messages, right? And you think, I hate when idiots are right. So, to me... I don't know. The Iraqis taught me that there is, if you believe in coincidence, you're a fool. So, anyway, that is big news. Today around the world. Let me tell you what we're going to do on the program this morning. Then we'll check news headlines pretty quick because Jim Murphy's going to come on at 7:30 this morning. So we got to kind of kick it in the ass a little bit this morning, so we'll do that. The this is why I like Stars and Stripes, but I'll get to that in a minute. We're going to talk to Jim Murphy. He's a former Marine and entrepreneur, and so we're going to he's in a competition, and he needs our help. So we're going to talk to him, find out what he does, find out this competition he's involved in as an entrepreneur, and what we can do to help. Right? And so what we could do to help is spread the word, okay? Vote for Murphy. So we'll do that. We'll do that. And so that, the and then Alex Hollings of SoftRep going to join us in about 50 minutes. So we'll talk to Alex. If you missed yesterday and you missed the Commandant of the Marine Corps, he made some comments, and I'll get the audio ready, but he made some comments about peer or near-peer war. And specifically, we'd be talking about China and Russia as the United States turns its back kind of on the Middle East and begins to prepare for peer-to-peer war. What does that look like when you go down that road? So we'll talk about that with Alex and some of the weapons that are mentioned and how does it work? Because I don't get it. I don't understand cyber warfare. What they would do and how it would be done. So anyway, so we'll talk about that with Alex. For instance, I was talking about this yesterday, but just to tease the subject that we'll talk with Alex, you know, these hypersonic weapons, right? Shoots essentially this thing at high speed and it's beyond the range of aircraft. Okay, well, how does that thing acquire a target? Satellites? So, satellite imagery, tracking, got to have radar, right? Radar platform in either drone or manned system in order to acquire the target. Got to have a feed of it that's giving you a GPS grid coordinate, which means you got to fly something over it. What happens if the satellite gets blown up? And what happens if you can't get anything over the top of it? Well, I guess you can't acquire the target, can you? So is that system rendered moot by the first exchanges in the conflict? So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I remember when the squad automatic weapon got introduced. And it said it shoots 1,100 rounds per minute. And everybody was, holy shit, man. That is a ton of rounds. And truth be told, it is a ton of rounds. Okay? However, you don't have 11, you don't carry 1,100 rounds to allow it to shoot 1,100 rounds a minute. So, it's certainly a nice thought, but you can't do it because you can't carry that much. And then you gotta find a target for it to shoot at that rate, which is its own problem. So, anyway. So it sounds awesome. That railgun can do this and, you know, but then you start to put the problem together and you say, and so then it got me thinking, okay, so what does that war look like? Commandant talked about it yesterday. If you didn't listen yesterday, I'm a fan of the program because I put it together. But That's not why I put it together. I'm a fan of it because I like the content. Anyway, right now, if you go to yesterday's, I'll just point out some things that, if I were you, that I would listen to. If you were to go to the podcast page, the thing with General Turner yesterday, it's important because I think it has implications for his conversation with Michael O'Hanlon at Brookings, and it's really Turner does the pitch that he does. O'Hanlon, they open up for questions after it, but anyway. So it's Roger Turner, Brigadier General type, Marine Corps. He was in Helmand as a regimental commander, 5th Marines in 2011-12. And then he went back there as Task Force Southwest. So, but what Turner talks about is advising to enable, not advising to create a dependence. And so, and I think that's a big difference. There's a huge difference in that. And I hear this phrase, you can't really win unless you have skin in the game, which means you have to go live with them and you have to, well, I mean, we're out there living with them. But the way you enable them, there's implications to that. So anyway, I would listen to that. And the implications, and this is the significant implications of it. The United States center of gravity is Americans being killed. Okay? And so we have to guard against that because that puts pressure on us to stop doing what we're doing. So number one, we have to protect against our own center of gravity getting pressure put against it. Okay. Two, when you develop the capability like they did in Southwest, according to General Turner, where you teach that you can do it, and if you use tempo to get after them, which means you're conducting operations, you get them on the run because they have to fight against a enemy that's sedentary, if you will, because it allows them to mass, because they don't have the forces. They don't have the forces to conduct operations, you know, simultaneously across a range. You know, they'll conduct one here, they dissolve, they organize the next one, they mass, and then they conduct the attack, then they dissolve, right, when you mass and start looking for them. So the key is you have more than they do. Continue to execute operations. Continue to look for them. Continue to make them move. And when you're doing that, In simultaneous regions, you don't allow them to do what they do. So tempo as a weapon. So you're enabling them, not creating dependence, though. And again, the Afghan Air Force beginning to stand up, right? And so General Turner talks about that. Why is that significant? Well, that's significant because if our stay there doesn't have many casualties, then that means there's not very much pressure on us to get out of there. We can do that. We can advise. We can train. We can support. And if we're doing it in the long term, that means it's a more stable relationship. Afghanistan military can count on us. And the message it sends to the adversary is you're not going to win. You're going to get bled, which ultimately contributes to the end state, which is strip the Afghan Taliban from the foreign Taliban, little T from big T, if you will, right, and settle the thing politically. That's the pressure, and that's the end state, right? That is the end state that you're looking for. So I would recommend General Turner's little thing at Brookings. I think it's significant because you saw that's kind of the playbook that came out of Iraq, Syria, Now being transferred or executed in Afghanistan. So it's significant. It's also significant because it's fiscally, it works as well. Your footprint isn't as large. Now the Commandant, he was at the Atlantic Council earlier this month, and he spent about an hour with him. which and as I said, as if you listen to the program, you know, I like long format stuff where they can speak, whether it's the transgender issue. He was pretty guarded on that, by the way. And the guy who interviewed him, I don't know how steeped he was in the issue, because the issue isn't, you know, can they serve, you know, and is there disruption to have a transgender person in there? No. The issue is, and he didn't get asked the question, what about somebody, should you keep somebody on active duty that is going to be in a limited duty status for multiple years? So anyway, the commandant said, hey, they're serving, they'll continue to serve until we get told something else. There's a whole series of court challenges, and I'll just leave it at that. But anyway, his comments relative to next generation, no, I don't even want to call it next generation, peer-to-peer war and command and control are pretty interesting. So I would recommend that to you as well. Additionally, if you go to the Read board, this is a reading assignment. A modest but enduring serious strategy for President Trump by Ryan Crocker, Michael O'Hanlon, and Pavel Bayev. I would recommend that to you. And then I would also recommend that you watch the video there. That is the funeral of Marine Corps legend, Medal of Honor recipient, who passed away, I want to say, last November, Colonel Wesley Fox, United States Marine Corps. So his funeral, it was videotaped, and it's on there. So anyway, I would, and then the other thing I would recommend you read, as long as I'm there, is if you further down the page is an article entitled "Syria: Reaping the Storm Obama Sowed." An Israeli view of events in Syria. Check that out. Pretty frank assessment from another country on what appeasement gets you. What appeasement gets you. Now, one piece of news, I'm going to run out of time here, and I'm not meaning to. And this is why I like Stars and Stripes. And I'm not sure why Marine Corps Times wouldn't have anything on this, but Marine Corps Times top stories are, you know, a story about the son of two Marines that is going to be in the NFL draft. The most significant story on Marine Corps Times today is Congress could pump the brakes on fully funding the Marine Corps' M-27 purchases. So, which will be interesting because, you know, the Marine Corps is requesting it because to go through all the wickets to have the bid to do that is years in the making. So the Marine Corps is taking a more expeditious, more fiscally restrained approach. Well, the problem is it leaves some American manufacturers out of it. And you can imagine how that plays with politicians. So on the early bird, the top five stories are a story about the Berlin Air Show, the political support for veterans and veterans affairs being a minefield, story about Admiral Jackson, Russia claims it has a U.S. Tomahawk missile and will use it to improve its own weapons. And then number five, a soldier now has been authorized to wear a beard because he's a pagan Norse worshiper. Yeah, Norse pagan worshiper. So he gets to wear his blonde beard. Which is a similar kind of lawsuit that Sikh soldiers filed and was remedied by the Army. So, congratulations to them. However, the most significant story in the news, I would tell you, is the story about the report that was released in Afghanistan. And the only place you find that story is in Stars and Stripes. So I'm not sure why the others don't have it. report culture of risk-taking, complacency were factors in the Niger ambush deaths. Okay, so the next question is, who's getting fired because of that? That's not what we do. All right? From Stuttgart, Germany, which is the home of AFRICOM. A culture of excessive risk-taking, poor training, and complacency were factors in the death of four U.S. soldiers killed in an October ambush in the West African country of Niger, a Pentagon investigation has determined. The findings in the 6,000-page report, which were described to the Wall Street Journal by military officials, includes recommendations from Defense Secretary Jim Mattis on steps needed to improve training and chain of command protocols. The ambush in the Nigerian village of Tongo Tongo, near the country's border with Mali, has roiled the special operations community and cast a spotlight on high-risk military operations that have occurred far from the public eye. The Wall Street Journal reported that there were mission command failures at multiple levels. For example, one instance highlighted in the report said that the officer copied and pasted orders for a separate mission into the concept of operations for the October mission to gain approval for the patrol that ended in the deaths of four soldiers. The report reveals that low-level commanders, eager to make their mark against local militants in Niger, quote, took liberties to get operations approved through the chain of command. Okay, who is in charge and who's going to pay? Don't tell me all this bullshit about people below the waterline doing stuff. Okay? You don't have the ability to medevac. You don't have the ability to do fire support, specifically drone coverage or fixed-wing air coverage. That ain't coming. You can't medevac them. What are they doing and who's in charge of it? And that person's head needs to roll. So anyway, that evidently is a report out of the Wall Street Journal today, but it's covered no place else other than Stars and Stripes. I don't get it. Anywho, that's in the news this morning. So we'll get this thing rolling. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official on a Thursday. Good morning to you. Dedicated yesterday or 2 days ago, the 1st Marine Division presented a Silver Star to a 51 years after the event had happened. Yeah, pretty amazing. And it was presented to the siblings of First Lieutenant Philip Sauer, native of Coronado, California. He got tasked by 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, to go set up an observation post. A couple radio operators, a couple forward observers, and he headed out. He had a 45 pistol. They were ambushed. And it was northeast of Quezon. So, unbeknownst to probably the Marines in the area, Quezon had a bullseye on it already. And that was happening late 1967. Tet occurs at the end of January 1968. So you can see preparations. Marines may or may not know it. Obviously don't know it. They're going to be that scale. But they're looking for targets. Anyway, he goes out. They make contact. And in an effort to get the hell out of there, he stops with his 45, tells the other Marines to keep moving. And he's killed as he's covering their withdrawal with his 45 semi-automatic pistol. So, this dedicated to him and his valor in a split-second decision as a leader, makes a decision to take care of those he leads. And there's no finer example of what we teach leaders to do in the Marine Corps than Lieutenant Philip Sauer, Coronado, California. Silver Star recipient 2 days ago from the 1st Marine Division and Major General Eric Smith. This dedicated to him.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We can't if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather. Clouds in 60 right now in Quantico. Clouds in 70 at Camp Lejeune. Partly sunny in 54 in Granbury, Texas. Gunner's not going to make a show today. He's teaching. Mostly sunny in 41 degrees in Big Timber, Montana. Clouds in 70 in 29 Palms, so warming up out in the desert. Clouds in 57... Camp Pendleton, warming up on the coast. clear dark in 69 in Okinawa, Japan. Cooled off in Afghanistan. Clear dark in 85 there. Clouds at 57 degrees along the coast here. At 7:34, as we get ready for a Thursday edition of Allmarine Radio. Looking for a high of 67. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. You're going to meet Jim Murphy. He's an entrepreneur. He needs your help. So don't touch that dial. More of this program. Alex Hollings from SoftRep going to join us this morning on a Thursday as well.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy.
7:38 on a Thursday, and we're going to talk about an entrepreneurial event coming up. Joining me on the telephone is Jim Murphy. Murph, what's up? How are you today?
Good, Max. Thanks for having me on. I really, really, really appreciate it.
All right. First of all, well, we got to meet you so we can know if we can believe anything you say. So this is All Marine Radio, after all.
Fair enough.
Born and raised where?
Rhode Island. Outside Boston. Yep.
Okay. So that is not Marine centric part of the country. How does the Marine Corps get on your How does the Marine Corps get on your radio?
Oh no. No, I disagree.
Rhode Island fits inside Camp Pendleton, man. What are you going to I mean, that is not Marine land. Come on.
Well, I grew up down the street. Mr. Grundy was a Raider in World War II.
Oh,
he ran a boxing gym, and he was there were Marines all over. Lots of South Boston Irish Marines, a lot of very strong Marine Corps country, if you know where to look. So,
okay. All right. So you grew up with this guy down the street, and so is that how you learned? Is that how you learned about the Marine Corps?
No, not necessarily. I mean, but it was around. It was things like that. It was definitely a tradition. A lot of having to do with kind of the Irish Catholic tradition and that kind of thing. For me, it was meeting Marines and it was reading about Marines. Those are the two kind of entry points. Reading books like Goodbye Darkness by William Manchester. Just reading different books about the Marine Corps and the experience of the Marine Corps and the legacy and understanding the tradition. That's really what pulled me into it. And just having that very clear value set. That was very, very attractive to me.
If you've never read Goodbye Darkness, I think that book was the first account I'd ever read where somebody kind of graphically wrote about what it was like to kill somebody. And Manchester, I think it's in some kind of hut that he squares off with a Japanese soldier. And the Japanese soldier sees him first and spins with his rifle, but his rifle hits some kind of wooden pole. And as he's trying to pull it back, Manchester then shoots him and kills him. And then he says, I think he fell to his knees and puked or something like that. His first experience. No, it's pretty, there's certain things that I remember in my life. Because you kind of got this post-World War II. They tell you about, the battle, but not in too much detail. Reading that was kind of like, it made you uncomfortable to read it. That kind of graphic up close and then his reaction to it, like, well, what do you mean he had a violent reaction to it? That's like, why? You didn't really understand the human dimension of it. The other one that I vividly recalled was watching the movie Apocalypse Now. And there's a medevac scene where a helicopter's going in to kind of to run a medevac, and it's into the courtyard. But there's a soldier who's been shot or had shrapnel get into his thigh, and he's not laying there like Sergeant Stryker did in the Sands of Iwo Jima, okay? Or like they did in the TV show Combat, where they're like, I just got some shrapnel to my shoulder, right? Then you got to 29 Palms and you see what shrapnel looks like. You're like, holy shit, man, this is shrapnel. I thought it was small stuff. But anyway, that soldier screaming, he's screaming as the medevac is coming in. And I remember watching it going, like, what's that? Is that how that happens? Like, and I remember not forgetting. So Manchester's book, though, was kind of my first taste of that. So how does the Marine Corps darken your doorstep? Do you enlist? Do you go to college? What's your path into the Marine Corps?
I went to Boston College, and I lived with and played rugby with guys in Army ROTC, and I was good friends with them, and it seemed like interesting. This the whole military thing really kind of I really started seeing about it as a bystander, but of course I met the OSO recruiter on campus, Captain Maldonado. He was a 46 pilot. I don't know what he's doing now, but great, great guy. And then I just started learning more about it, getting steeped in it. And then when I graduated from Boston College, I went to OCS, and then from there I went to TBS and went to IOC.
There you go. All right. So give us a thumbnail of your Marine Corps career. You graduated from IOC what year?
I graduated from IOC in 95.
So you graduated?
October 95.
In October of 95, then what? Where do you go? What do you do?
I went out to Hawaii. Went out to 3rd Marines. Went to Charlie 1-3, and had a great experience there as a platoon commander. My company commander was James Knight. Last I heard, he's a colonel. He was over in Europe, last I heard. I think he's at AFRICOM. But great guy, great company commander. And did that. Went to Okinawa. We ran a camp for Kurdish refugees in Okinawa, and that was a great experience.
Wow.
And that was in 96. That was when Saddam was threatening the protected and safe havens in the north in the Kurdish area.
Right.
And he did some kind of spoiling thing up there, and then we started bringing a whole bunch of people out. They brought them to Guam.
What was that called? Inherent Resolve or something like that?
Pacific Haven.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, the operation, yeah, the operation, I think,
in northern Iraq,
yeah.
With the no-fly zone and all that.
Yeah, yeah. And then the refugee thing was Pacific Haven, because it was in Guam, of all places, where they brought all these Kurdish refugees. And they set them up on the old Navy base there, in the old officer housing. And they had the Air Force was doing security, and then they needed additional security because they had a hard time screening, as you can imagine, pulling people out of Kurdistan.
Right.
And there were some unsavory elements in there. And so, you know, they said there was nothing major. There was, you know, but they just needed more kind of force and protection, that kind of thing. So they sent our company over, which was a great experience. It's great, you know, no one shooting at you, but a good experience. And then, from there, I came back to Hawaii, and I was planning, we got back from our pump, and I was planning on getting out. And, I got very, very, very lucky, and I got the headquarters company at 3rd Marines, and I worked for a gentleman named John Keenan, who most recently, after he retired, was the editor of the Gazette for about 10 years.
Right, you bet.
Just an absolutely fantastic guy, great, great, great Marine. Learned so much from him, and he's been a friend and mentor for many, many, many years. And I thought I wanted to be Jack Ryan. You know, I went to Boston College. I thought, you know, the Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan. I thought I wanted to be that guy. And, so I was planning on getting out, and I wanted to go to DC and get a PhD in national security studies. And, I went and got the master's at Georgetown. And, while I was getting out, I went and I worked, for a few months for a guy named, Paul McHale, Mr. McHale, who was a member of Congress at the time. He retired as a colonel in the Marine Corps Reserve and just an absolute fantastic guy. So I had a little bit of experience there, worked up on the Hill and that kind of thing, really realized that I did not want to work in the bureaucracy and federal government. And I want to do something more creative. And that's what eventually took me to where we are now. I did more Marine Corps stuff in between, but that's how I eventually kind of made the transition to toys, video games, and starting the company that we have right now.
All right. So tell everybody about that transition, what you started, and then we'll talk about the contest you're involved in and the help you're looking for.
Sure. Yeah. No. So I between being in D.C., I met my wife. We traveled around the world together for a little while. 9/11 happened. I went back in active duty for 2 years. I went to Iraq and only have one. And I applied for business school while I was. During that whole period of time, I was trying to figure out, I want to do something more creative, something, you know, try something else out. And, I went, got my MBA at USC, and I got a great job at Mattel, the toy company. And I worked there for several years and worked at a bunch of different companies like that. And, it was fulfilling. It was like, you know, using both creative and business skills and that kind of thing. And I've worked in a whole bunch of different toys and games and all sorts of things like that. But the biggest thing that, you know, I was kind of looking around, I really realized that there's nothing in the market that's really for kids, that's really about American heroes and leaders. Nothing that's about, you know, telling stories that are realistic. And kids want these stories. There are certain kids, particularly in America, that really, really want to hear these true and authentic stories in a way that they can understand and they can process. And there's also a huge need for it when you see the huge gap in knowledge and understanding about history, which is so important to Marines and so important to our country. Overall, and so that's how we took a step back and we created Invicta. Invicta True Hero Stories is what the brand is called. And what we do is we combine comics, text, digital content, interactive content. We combine a whole bunch of elements together to tell one story. And in the story, what you do as a reader or a participant is you walk in the footsteps of a historical leader and you make the decisions that they made and they faced. My Marine Corps buddies call it like TBS for kids. That's kind of their catchphrase. Cause Well, it was definitely inspired by the tactical decision games in the back of the Gazette, without a doubt. The whole idea that, you know, you walk in the footsteps or you imagine a historical scenario. But we have, it's more text-based and it's more leadership-based as opposed to tactical decisions because, you know, our audience is 10, 11, 12-year-olds. We're not teaching them how to, you know, punch through an ambush or anything like that. We're teaching them how to make good basic decisions. So,
take down a strong point. That's probably not what you're going to do with them.
Not really. How the content works is that it starts with an operations packet that's separate from the mission. And in that operations packet, it might explicitly say, you know, when you, you know, and the first one is that there's a section for the C-47 pilots, and it says, when you get over France, stay on course, don't change your speed, you know. And then there's a decision later on where the pilots are asked, should you fly higher? Should you speed up? You know, so it's explicitly set up front. So it's kind of reading comprehension
right, to
reinforce later on when you make the decision. So, yeah, all the decisions are based either on something in the operations packet. It's like a fact you would have read. So it's reading comprehension.
Right.
Or it's a leadership decision. And INVICTA is an acronym for 7 leadership traits.
You know, I've maintained for years that I was a smart kid. And I was talking to this with my son the other day. When, you know, and you come in the military, and I think it's your GCT score or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Mine was like 131 or 128 or something like that. And I used to tell my Marines, I don't ever want to hear anybody call me a dumbass, okay? Because the Marine Corps is certified that I'm the smartest human being in this company, okay? So don't ever say that because you're factually incorrect. But I maintain that if they could have tailored word problem, like I had no interest in the bread truck that went from Binghamton to Poughkeepsie and then turned around and came back and what time that bread truck would be back. But I would have, if it would have been Halsey's task force that had left the Philippine Straits, right, and gone to chase, and could they get back? I've been all over that word problem. I'd have solved that son of a bitch in no time. Or if it would have been Willie Mays' swing needs to get to point A from here, can it get there if the ball is traveling at this rate of speed? I would have spent all night on that stuff. So, no, I mean, I think what you're doing is you're serving in a way we couldn't do with hard books years ago. You're kind of creating content that for a certain genre of kid like me that was out there and would have been all over that kind of stuff. Well done. Bravo.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, you're hitting the nail right on the head. It's just the whole idea that you know, there's a lot of push to say that, you know, every kid learns the same way, regardless of gender or background, is that the other thing. And the reality is different kids learn in different ways based on their experiences, based on
their interests,
biology, a whole bunch of interests, a whole bunch of things like
that. I saw my report cards my mom saved. I don't know. There's three of them that I found, like second, third, and seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
Student achieving below apparent capability, all over those things, man. And I remember my dad calling me out and then me saying, I think they're over-assessing my capabilities, Dad. And with that, he threatened to beat my ass after I said that. Don't ever say that to me again. But I wasn't interested, except in a few things, and I was undisciplined in that I didn't, you know, I tended to apply myself more when something, you know, captured my eye. I wrote a paper in fifth grade on the Naval Academy. And the comment, the comment from the nun was, outstanding work. Why don't we see this across the board?
Yeah.
Answer?
Yeah.
I'm not interested. I'm not interested across the board.
Yeah. It's very, very, it's absolutely the case. And everything we developed with INVICTA, we actually worked with educational experts, and this is not a brand only for boys, right? I mean, we're not saying this is for boys and certain things are for girls and that kind of thing. However,
We're over that, man. We're over that.
Yeah. Yeah. But all our content was developed for reluctant readers.
Oh.
And reluctant readers, usually, the majority of reluctant girls are more likely to read at a younger age, you know? So it does. Oh, yeah.
Why are you going sexist on me?
We're not going sexist.
By gender, boys don't read. Is that the deal? What are they doing? They're outside. I mean, stereotypically, they're outside. They're outside throwing rocks
hitting each other on the head.
Playing with fire.
Yeah. We're outside playing war. That's what I did when I was 9, 10 years old.
Are you kidding me? I just stopped like 2 years ago. What about what about, and that's true. Okay, so tell us, you create your company, right? We know about your content. Tell us about tell us about this contest. What kind of contest is it? And how do people find your company?
TrueHeroStories.com. Super easy.
True Hero Stories.
Our brand
Stories.
Is Invicta. Yeah, TrueHeroStories.com. And it's a brand that's all about leadership, but for people that are just getting into it, you tell them hero. And then once we pull them in, we explain, well, a hero is actually a leader, and here's what leaders do. That's kind of our mindset, right? So it's TrueHeroStories.com, pretty straightforward. And the foundation that we're semifinalists right now, and it's called the Street Shares Foundation. And we're putting a link up on our website. People go to our website, they can see and they can vote. But the Street Shares Foundation has picked 10 businesses, and we're in the semifinal round where we're competing against each other. They put 2 Marine Corps businesses against 2 Navy businesses and 2 Army businesses, and so on. And the other business, a great business, a nutrition company run by a Marine out of Colorado. And we're pitted against, we're in second place right now. The top 2 services go to the final, and we'll actually compete our own individual business ideas at that point. And we're just trying to get the word out to Marines, ask Marines to vote. So I and Team Marine, and me and Dave, who's got the nutritional products company, we can get to the final, and then compete just on our idea. And the grand prize is $15,000. And for us, you know, classic entrepreneurial journey. Anything you do entrepreneurially, there are ups and downs. You know, we had a great launch, and we're in Amazon and Barnes and Noble, but we always need capital. And the grand prize is $15,000, and that will let us go back into production. I have open orders from customers. You know, there's all sorts of things that we can do with that, which would be absolutely huge.
So the bottom line is you need people to go to this website and vote for you.
Correct.
Okay. And so what we'll do is we'll go I'll post the link on our blog right now, and it'll go up again later, and we need people to share that, right? With their Marine friends and say, "Look, we don't care if you hate the product, but this is an inter-service competition. So vote yes for Marines, because that's what we do."
Yes, please.
All right.
Yes, please. Right. That would be fantastic.
In addition to the fact that the product's a great product. And I will tell you what, I mean, I would have been, you know, I'd have been your number one, or my mom would have been your number one customer, because my mom got me, I mean, I have books that my mom bought me from like drugstores about the Civil War. Like I used to go in this drugstore, you know, next to the supermarket, because you didn't have it all in one when I was a kid. And there were these two books, one about the Union and one about the Confederacy. And I probably looked at those books every time that my mom went in that drugstore. And she finally bought them for me, and she wrote my name in them and my address, and I still have them. But it was my mom understood and would buy me stuff, and I'd read it, and I was all about that kind of stuff. So no, my mom and me would have been your target market, and it affected me my entire life. It's what pointed. When I told my parents I was going to join the Marine Corps, my dad reacted violently and told me the Marines were. They're the stupidest things on the planet. They can't pour piss. They can't pour piss out of a boot. I said, really? Really? Coming from an army loser? Really? We're going to go there? And my mom said, I think you'll love it. I think you'll do great.
Okay.
And because my mom has seen me from the time I was a little kid look for this kind of subject matter. And and because that's what I genuinely loved. So interesting. All right, so let's the basics again. The name of the company and the website is what? Yours.
My company is Invicta.
Okay.
And the website is trueherostories.com. And we're putting a button up that you can go from there to vote for us, or you're putting it up on your blog. I think your blog is probably better overall. And we're just asking Marines to vote. All they gotta do is click the link. I'll take you through, put in your email address, and then vote Marine Corps. It's really, really simple. It takes about 2 minutes to do.
Okay. All right. And then out of this, you guys, if you are can become a finalist, for $15,000, yes?
Correct. Yep. And we're really hoping we get there, and then we can build the business. Oh, and I should mention at the tail end, the stories we have planned. We're hoping to do a story on John Bazelon later this year, that would benefit the Bazelon Family Foundation. There's an incredible story. Peter Ortiz, who was a Marine in World War II, actually in Europe, incredible story of the OSS. So we have all these great stories, Marine stories. We're also Army, Air Force, you know, all these different stories, but that's our plan. Our first one is about the true story of a Native American paratrooper on D-Day, named Turner Turnbull. It's incredible. Saving Private Ryan is based on the story, but we have a whole bunch of other stories that are Marine-focused, too. So that's our plan.
All right. His name is Jim Murphy, former infantry officer, United States Marine Corps. We'll get you, again, the website is True Hero Stories, H-E-R-O. Stories, stories.com. You can check out the website, and then I will post the link that he sent me, and I'll put that on our blog here momentarily, and click on it, and vote it, and then not only vote for it, but share it. All right, so just put it up, whether you put it to all your friends on Facebook and say, hey, all right, this is a Marine competition against the other branches of the service. Click and vote. Let's do it. So, anyway, Murph, first of all, thanks for coming on today. Want to wish you all the best of luck. We'll see what we can do to help. And I hope you win the competition because, as I said, I mean, I was your target market. And how my mom and had to search far and wide for things that were appropriate for me as a young kid. I used to wear out the Scholastic Book Club. I mean, I owned every World War II and Korean. There wasn't much written when I was a kid about Vietnam yet, but I wore out those Guadalcanal diaries. D-Day books and all the different books I had about the different battles. And I swear to God, I must have had 40 of them. I bought every single one. And, cause that was my interest. And so I commend you for what you're doing because there's our kids like us that grow up and want this kind of stuff. And the more interactive you can make it, obviously, it develops in them intellectually, whether they choose to serve or not. But I think it cultivates that whole idea of this country didn't get to be what it is because nobody gave a shit about it, right? And I don't have to I don't have to join the military, but you know what? I probably ought to serve in my community throughout my entire life. And so I think you guys promote that as well. So, all right.
Thanks for saying it.
No, that's the way I grew up. Anything else? The general question, kind of like the general article. In a court martial. Anything else that I haven't asked you that you want people to know about either what you're doing or your company?
Only that I'm incredibly honored and grateful to the Marine Corps. I always say I got a lot more than Marine Corps out of the Marine Corps than the Marine Corps got out of me, and I always recognize and appreciate it, and I always try to do what I can for other Marines. And so just thank you. And this is just another example, opportunity to be able to plug into your community and I'll spread the word. So
all right.
I really, really, really appreciate it.
All right, man. All the best of luck. And we'll have you back on after you win and you can crow about it.
God willing.
All right.
Thanks, Mac. I really appreciate it.
Take it easy. That is Jim Murphy, United States Marine Corps. All right. We're going to take a break. Alex Holling is going to join us next on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. We're going to talk old man fitness, arson update, new parenting, new father. And we're talking about the peer-to-peer war and some of the stuff Alex has been writing on. So don't touch that dial. The link is going to go up here momentarily. I'll blast it out on Twitter and Facebook. as well. So so not hard to find if you're connected in any way, shape, or form to All Marine Radio. And then just click on it and vote. Right? Just remember, they can never defeat us, and they know that. So it's time to dust that one off again. Everybody knows. It's just the way it is. More, and the best part is, they know too. Hey, why do you think President Macron of France, right, brought a tree from Bellwood, right, connected it to Marine Corps lore to plant at the White House? Because it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. I didn't make it up. I didn't invent it. I'm just down here playing by the same set of rules as everybody else. It's the way it is. So it's time, boys and girls, to dust that one off again. And you know how much the other services hate it, but it's okay. They all learn to live with it. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Alex Hollings will join us. Heat from SoftRep. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio on a Thursday coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.